Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor by Avram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Yevamos Daf Tezayin. The first parak, Chamesh Esrei Nashim. The first parak has been generously sponsored as a schus for Mordechai Chaim ben Esther, and as a schus for Shidduch Hagon for Leah bas Esther. So the three daves we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a brisa. B'yemei Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinus, he tiru tzaras bitol achin. In the days of Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinus, the tzar of a daughter was permitted to the brothers of her deceased husband in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai. And the matter was difficult for the Chachamim because Rabbi Dosa was a great Talmud Chacham, but since he was blind, he was unable to come to the Beis Hamidrash for them to address their disagreement with his position. A delegation composed of Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Kiva was sent to him, and the Braisa details how Rabbi Dosa welcomed each one. When they brought up the question regarding his position on Tzar's Bito, he clarified that he holds like Beis Hillel, but that he has a younger brother named Yonasan, who is a Bechor Satan, a first-class opponent, and a Talmud of Beis Shammai, and that he must have been the one to have said this. He warned them not to engage with him, since he has 300 reasons to permit Tzar's Bito. Rabbi Dosa concluded, Meid alai shamayim va'aretz shal madu chazo yoshev Chagai Navi, but I call the heavens and the earth as my witnesses, that on this seat sat Chagai Navi, who gave three rulings, one of them being that Tzar Sabas Asura, the tzar of a daughter, is forbidden to do Yibum. On the way out, Yonasan met Rabbi Kiva and beat him in a debate, and then insulted him. Point number two, Chagai's second ruling was, Amon Umov ma'asvim ma'iso ani b'shviz. Jews in Amon and Moav give ma'iso ani in the seventh year. The Gemara explains that Harbek Hrachim Kavshu Oli Mitzrayim, or Kavshu Oli Bava, many cities were conquered and sanctified by those who came up from Mitzrayim and were considered part of Eretz Yisrael during the time of Bais Rishon, but were not subsequently conquered by those who came up from Bavel. And the initial sanctification of Eretz Yisrael during the first conquest lasted for that time, but did not sanctify it for all future times. Only the lands of the ones from Bavel conquered would be sanctified for future times and be subject to the laws that apply to Eretz Yisrael. And those from Bavel left some areas unsanctified in order that the poor should rely on them for produce during Shemitah. Rashi explains that the poor in Eretz Yisrael would come to Amon Moav during Shviz and hire themselves out as agricultural workers and also receive leket, shechacha, peah, and ma'aser ani. And point number three, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Pasuk zeh sara olam amaro. The following pasuk was recited by the minister of the world, which Rashi explains in Sanhedrin, is a malach into whose hands the whole world has been given. Nar yisi gamzikanti orisi sadik nezav. I have been a youth and also old, but I have not seen a tzaddik forsaken, nor his children begging for food. Now who else could have said this? If you say it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is there old age with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It also cannot be David HaMelech, for was he so old? The Maharshal explains that David only lived 70 years, therefore it would not be remarkable if he never saw a tzaddik forsaken in that period of time. Therefore it must have been the Sar HaOlam who said it. The Maharshal explains that since this Malach existed from the time of creation, his testimony that he never saw a tzaddik forsaken is truly remarkable. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, is taught in a brisa to be made Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinus, he tirut tzaras bito la'achin. In the days of Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinus, the tzara of a daughter was permitted to the brothers of her deceased husband in accordance with the opinion of Beis Shammai. And the matter was difficult for the Chachamim because Rabbi Dosa was a great Talmud Chacham, but since he was blind, he was unable to come to the Beis Hamidrash for them to address their disagreement with his position. A delegation composed of Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Kiva was sent to him, and the Braisa details how Rabbi Dosa welcomed each one. When they brought up the question regarding his position on Tzar's Bito, he clarified that he holds like Beis Hillel, but that he has a younger brother named Yonasan, who is a Bechor Satan, a first-class opponent, and a Talmud of Beis Shammai, and that he must have been the one to have said this. He warned them not to engage with him, since he has 300 reasons to permit Tzar's Bito. Rabbi Dosa concluded, Meid alai shamayim va'aretz shal madu chazo yoshev Chagai Navi, but I call the heavens and the earth as my witnesses, that on this seat sat Chagai Navi, who gave three rulings, one of them being that Tzar Sabas Asura, the tzar of a daughter, is forbidden to do Yibum. On the way out, Yonasan met Rabbi Kiva and beat him in a debate and then insulted him. Point number two, Chagai's second ruling was, Amon Umov ma'asvim ma'iso ani b'shviz. Jews in Amon and Moav give ma'iso ani in the seventh year. The Gemara explains that Harbek Hrachim Kavshu Oli Mitzrayim, or Kavshu Oli Bava, many cities were conquered and sanctified by those who came up from Mitzrayim and were considered part of Eretz Yisrael during the time of Bais Rishon, but were not subsequently conquered by those who came up from Bavel. And the initial sanctification of Eretz Yisrael during the first conquest lasted for that time, but did not sanctify it for all future times. Only the lands that the ones from Babel conquered would be sanctified for future times and be subject to the laws that apply to Eretz Yisrael. And those from Babel left some areas unsanctified in order that the poor should rely on them for produce during Shemitah. Rashi explains that the poor in Eretz Yisrael would come to Amon Moav during Shviz and hire themselves out as agricultural workers and also receive leket, shechecha, peah, and maaser ani. And point number three, Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani said in the name of Yonasan, Pasuk zeh sara olam amaro. The following pasuk was recited by the minister of the world, which Rashi explains in Sanhedrin, is a malach into whose hands the whole world has been given. Nar yisi gam zikanti orisi sadik nezav. I have been a youth and also old, but I have not seen a tzaddik forsaken, nor his children begging for food. Now who else could have said this? If you say it was a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is there old age with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? It also cannot be David HaMelech, for was he so old? The Maharsha explains that David only lived 70 years, therefore it would not be remarkable if he never saw a tzaddik forsaken in that period of time. Therefore, it must have been the Sar HaOlam who said it. The Maharsha explains that since this malach existed from the time of creation, his testimony that he never saw a tzaddik forsaken is truly remarkable. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Tes Zayin, or a standard Simon is toes, and we often use an acrobat with big toes. So here goes. The poor acrobat with large toes, who was afraid to compete with his first-class opponent, known to perform 300 stunts, ran off to Amon Moav where he hoped to collect Maaser Ani during Shviz, and was relieved to meet the minister of the world who told him that he'd never seen a tzaddik forsaken. Once again, slow motion. The poor acrobat with large toes, that must be Ron Duff Tez Zion. The poor acrobat with large toes, who was afraid to compete with his first-class opponent, known to perform 300 stunts, which reminds us that Rabbi Dos Ben Harkin has clarified to a delegation Rabbanim that he held like Beis Hillel that Tzara's Bito Asura, and that it was his brother Yonason, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, who held Tzara's Bito as Mutter, and he had 300 reasons to back up his position. So, the poor acrobat with large toes, who was afraid to compete with his first-class opponent, known to perform 300 stunts, ran off to Amon Moav where he hoped to collect Maaser Ani during Shviz. Which reminds us, Haggai's second ruling was Amon Moav ma'asim Maaser Ani b'Shviz. Jews in Amon Moav give Maaser Ani in the seventh year. Only the lands of the ones from Babel conquered would be sanctified for future times and be subject to the laws that apply in Eretz Yisrael. And they left over some areas unsanctified in order that the poor should rely on them for produce during Shviz. Rashi explains that the poor in Eretz Yisrael would come to Amon Moav during Shviz and hire themselves out as agricultural workers and also receive leket, shechecha, peah, and Maaser Ani. So the poor acrobat with large toes, who was afraid to compete with his first-class opponent, known to perform 300 stunts, ran off to Amon Moav, where he hoped to collect Maaser Ani during Shviz, and was relieved to meet the minister of the world who told him that he'd never seen a tzaddik forsaken. Which reminds us, it was the Sar HaOlam, the minister of the world, which is a malach, into whose hands the whole world has been given, who recited the pasuk, Nar ha'isi gam zikanti v'ra'isi tzaddik nezav. I have been a youth and also old, but I have not seen a tzaddik forsaken, nor his children begging for food. The Maharsha explains that since this malach existed from the time of creation, his testimony that he never saw a tzaddik forsaken is truly remarkable. So once again, the poor acrobat with large toes, who was afraid to compete with his first-class opponent, known to perform 300 stunts, ran off to Amon Moav, where he hoped to collect Maaser Ani during Shviz, and was relieved to meet the minister of the world who told him that he'd never seen a tzaddik forsaken. All right, now it's time for four blah back Chazara. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simver Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. When the 10 remaining brothers, that must be run Daf Yud Beis, 12 brothers. When the 10 remaining brothers became asir to the tzara of the Mema'enis, who did miyun after their brother's death, which reminds us, Rabbi Lubin bar Mamo said in the name of Ukba, who said in the name of Shmuel, that a tzara's Mema'enis is forbidden to the Yavam. The Gemara explains that the reason that she's forbidden to him is the Gezer Mishuma tzara's bita Mema'enis, a decree that was made because of the tzara of a daughter who falls to Yibum and does miyun. Rashi explains that the case is when one's daughter, who is a katana, falls to him for Yibum, along with an adult tzara, and the daughter does miyun to her father. Since at the time they fell for Yibum, the tzar appears like the tzar of his daughter, who is an erva to her father. She's asur mid the rabbanon, even though the daughter's miyun does uproot the marriage. The concern is that if we permit a yavam to take a tzar's mema'enis in general, one might come to permit one to take a tzar's mema'enis when the one doing miyun is his daughter. So, when the 10 remaining brothers became asur to the tzar of the mema'enis, who did miyun after the brother's death, and to the tzar's ilanis of another brother, who always knew that his wife couldn't bear children, which reminds Ravasi says that Atzar ben Anglis is also because the Pasuk states, Vaya b'chora asher teyled, and the firstborn that she gives birth to, which excludes an Anglis being that she cannot give birth. Since an Anglis cannot do Yibum, she's an Erva, and that Tzara is a Tzara's Erva. The Gemara asks that the Mishnah on Da Bei says that Tzara's Anglis is mutu to the Yavam. The Gemara answer is Lokasha Kancha Hikerba Kanshul Hikerba. Ravasi was discussing a case where the husband recognized his wife was an Islandis when they got married. Therefore, the marriage was legitimate, and the Tzara is a Tzara's Islandis who is Pata from Yibum. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, is discussing a case where he did not realize that she was an Islandis, and therefore the marriage is nullified, and the Tzara is Mutter to the Yavam. The words of the Mishnah imply this as well, as it says, Shinim Su'u, they were found to be an Islandis, and it does not say, Shahayu, they were. So, when the 10 remaining brothers became usher to the Tsar of the Mama'enis, who did Miun after their brother's death, and to the Tsar's Islandis of another brother, who always knew that his wife couldn't bear children, they tried to comfort their mother, who was famous for having given birth to her first son, when she was still a minor. Which reminds us, Rabbi taught a brisa in front of Rav Nachman, Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'moch, there are three women who may use cotton to prevent conceiving, Ketanamu Uberes Umeinika, a minor, a pregnant woman, and a nursing woman. Ketana Shema Tisabra V'Shema Tammuz. A minor may do this, as otherwise she may become pregnant and she may die because of the pregnancy, which implies that some minors may become pregnant and not die. So there is a case of Chamoso Mema'enis, a mother-in-law who does Miun. Rashi explains that this is a case where a Ketana gives birth to a daughter and her husband gives the infant daughter away in marriage. The husband will have a mother-in-law who may do Miun. But the Mishnah on Da Beis Amabei said that this case does not exist. Rav Safra answered, Banim Harihem Kisimanim. Children are like simanim, meaning signs of puberty, and therefore, once she gives birth, she cannot do miyun anymore. Daf Yud Gimel, the simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy, so here goes. After the bar mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an erva must die for a tzar to be mutter to do yibum, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmi resolved the steer mishnayos regarding when an erva must die or get divorced for her tzar to be mutter for yibum by explaining Misha Shana Zo, Lo Shana Zo, the one who taught this Mishnah did not teach this Mishnah. Hai Tana Sabra Misa Mapelas, the Tana Bar Mishnah holds that the husband's death causes his wives to fall to yibum as long as a woman is not the tzar of an erva at the moment of a husband's death, she is chai for yibum. But the Tana of the other Mishnah holds that the original marriage causes his wives to fall to Yibum. Therefore, if a woman was ever a tsar of an erva, she's putter from Yibum. Rubber reconciles the Mishnahs differently. So, after the Bar Mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an erva must die for a tsar to be mutter to do Yibum, he shocked the crowd with Beishamah Shita that a tsar of an erva is always mutter to do Yibum, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, Beishamah Matirin Hatzar Zla'achim Ubeisilah Osrim. Beishamah hold that the tsars of Arias may do Yibum, and Beisilah say they are asu to do Yibum. Rav Shem ben Pasi explains that the reason Beishamah is because the Pasik states, Otiye Esh Zamesa Chutzal Ish Zar, the wife of the one who died, who is outside, should not go to a stranger. Chutzah makal de ikapnimi. Since the pasuk describes the wife as the outer one, meaning she's not related to the yavam, it implies there is an inner one who is related to the yavam, that being the erva. But amrachmana lotia, the pasuk's teaching that the outer one, who is the tzara of the erva, may not marry anyone else since she's subject to yibum. The Gemara continues explaining what Basila do with the pasuk. So after the bar mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an erva must die for a tzara to be mutter to do yibum, he shocked the crowd with Beishamah Shita that a tzara of an erba is always mutter to do yibum, and solemnly concluded the pasuk of Losi's go to do and the hope that Kol Yisrael should not make separate factions. Which reminds the Gemara brings a whole back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan on the topic of Losi's go to do, which means Losasu Agudos Agudos, you shall not make separate factions, as it applies in the Megillah being read on different days, Malacha being performed on Erev Pesach, and to our Mishnah with the Machlokas Beisham Meisil regarding whether a tzar of an erva is mutter to do yibum. Daf Yadal, so the simmer Daf Yadal is a hand, and we often use a juggler. So here goes. The juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskel announce whom the halacha follows, which reminds us. The Gemara says that Reish Lakish and Rav hold that Beishamah did not follow their own opinion regarding being matya the tzaros of an erva to do yibum, and Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel hold they did. The Gemara asks Amos, when did this Malchokas of Beishamah and Beisil take place? Ilei Makodim Baskel, if you say it was before Baskel announced that the halacha always follows Beisilil, then what would be the explanation of those who hold that Beishamah do not follow their own opinion? And if it was after the Baskel, then what would be the reasoning of those who hold that Beishamah did not follow Beisilil? The Gemara clarifies that the Malchokas could have taken place either before or after the Baskel, and each opinion would have a rationale for their position. So the juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskel announce whom the halacha follows, entertain judges from two separate bate dinim in one city. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, according to those who say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, why was there no issue here of Los Hiskodidu, which means Los Sasu Agudus Agudus, do not make separate factions? Rava answered that Los Hiskodidu only applies within one court when some of the judges follow Beis Shammai and some follow Beis Hillel. But in a case where there are two Bate Dinim in one town, where one falls Beis Shammai and the other falls Beis Hillel, there is no problem of Los Hiskodidu. So the juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskel announce whom the halacha follows, entertained judges from two separate Bate Dinim in one city, and was delighted to see that despite all their disagreements, they still treated each other with chiba and Reyes, which reminds us, it was stated in the Brisa that even though Beis Shammai Beis Hillel disagreed about being matir tsaros in the case of Yibum and other halachos, Beis Shammai did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Shammai, to teach you that they treated each other with affection and friendship to fulfill that which it stated, Ha'emes v'shalom havo, love, truth, and peace. Daf Tes Vav, so the Simmer Daf Tes Vav relates to the fruit of Tu B'Shvat, and we use a fruit bowl. So here goes. The rabbi who bought a fruit bowl, that must mean we're in Daf Tes Vav. The rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara, which reminds us, the Gemara continues the discussion whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion and brings up Raisa that states Rabbi Tarfon, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, said, Te'avani masai tavu tzara sabas liyadi v'asa'ena, I desire the time when the tzara, my daughter, who is currently married to my brother, will fall into my hand and I will marry her in Yibum. Since marrying a tzara of an Arab is only permitted according to Beis Shammai, this is proof that Beis Shammai followed their opinion. The Gemara answered, Rabbi Tarfon said, Va'asiena, and I will marry her off to someone else without doing chalitza, which would be permitted according to Beis Hillel. And Rabbi Tarfon sought to preclude the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, who attempted to accommodate the views of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel by requiring every tzara do chalitza. By stating that chalitza is not necessary, Rabbi Tarfon was showing that he disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's suggestion. So the rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara and toveled it in Yehu's trough where the dividing wall was broken open, which reminds us Mar Zutra attempted to show that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion based on the following brisa. Maisa b'shokas Yehu sha'itz b'shalim. There was an incident with Yehu's trough in Yerushalayim, which was connected to an adjoining mikveh, and all the tower foods were prepared there, meaning that their kalim were immersed there. And Beis Shammai sent and widened it, for they held that it's not valid until the majority of the dividing wall is broken, so that the water is mixed over a large area and not just through a hole. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying that one who sees the Talmud of Beis Shammai breaking open the wall of Yehu's trough would say that he's doing it to increase the amount of water in the trough. So the rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara and toveled it in Yehu's trough where the dividing wall was broken open, refused to answer a shaila about whether tzara's habas is mutter and yibum out of fear that some people might want to crush his skull. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings another proof that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion. Yeshua was asked, Tzara Sabas Mahu, what is the halacha regarding the tzara of one's daughter? Is one permitted to her in Yibum? He answered, that's a malchus Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And when pressed regarding who the halacha follows, he answered, Mifnei ma'atem machnisim roshi ben shnei harim gadolim. Why are you putting my head between two great mountains, between the two great factions of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? Miss Yarani Shema Yorotsu Govgalti. I'm afraid they might crush my skull. Rashi explains that if he ruled in favor of Beis Hillel, then those who are rendered to be mamzerim might kill him. The Gemara explains that if you say Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, that's why Rabbi Yeshua was afraid that those rendered mamzerim might kill him. But if Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, what was he afraid of? All right, now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechetos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that despite disagreements, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had chiba and reyus together? That's on daf Yadad. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that a yavam should do chalitza to a yavama who was already pasul to the kahuna instead of to one who was kasha to the kahuna? That's on daf Yadav. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn why Rabbi Yeshua was afraid to paskin about Tzara's Habas and rule publicly if he held like Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that Rabbi Yehuda ben Hyrcanus clarified that he held like Beis Hillel that Tzara's Bito Asura, but that his brother Yonasan held it was mutter and had 300 reasons to back up his position? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn if the tzara of an erva is pater from Yibum, even if the erva was divorced after he married the tzara, or only if he divorced the erva before he married the tzara. That's on Dav. Yud Gimel. Good number six. Which Dav do we have the Maisa when the Talmud of Beishamai broke open the Shokas Yehu? Yehu's trough. That's on Dav. Tezvav. Good number seven. Which Dav do we have a question if the Machlokas, whether Beishamai followed their own opinion, happened before the Bas Kol regarding the Halakha of following Beis Hillel or after the Bas Kol? That's on Dav. Yedalad. Good number eight. Which Dav do we learn that Tzara's Mema Enes is also because of a Gezerah, Mishum Tzara's Bito Mema Enes? That's on Dav. Yud Beis. Good number nine. Which Dav do we learn that Rabbi Tarfon desired to marry off his daughter's Tzara without Chalitza to preclude the opinion of Yochanan ben Nuri, who said every Tzara should do Chalitza? That's on Dav. Tezvav. Good. Number 10. Which Dav do we learn that the Tzara Ha'olam was the one who recited the Pasuk Na'isi Gamzakanti Vore'isi Sadik Ne'azav? That's on Dav. Tezayin. Excellent. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which Dav do we learn that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it was expanding continuously, like the thread of two unraveling balls of a warp? That's on Dav. Yid Beis Nechagiga. Good. Number two. Which Dav do we learn that one should not inform a Chola that a close relative has passed away? That's on Dav. Chav Vav Mod Cut. Good. Number three. Which Dav do we discuss whether one who blows a shofar to play a song is Yotzei is Chiyuv? That's on Dav. Chav Ches and Rosh Hashanah. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.